Welcome back to the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. We will wrap up the piece that I wrote last week in reflection of the incidents that I mentioned earlier, and we'll move on to some of the top stories and the goings-on of the day. And we'll open up the phone lines early. Well, I guess it's not early at this point, but phone lines are open. We'll just say that. 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. And interesting, just as a brief aside, I think it's interesting, this CNN article published a few hours ago. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg calls Trump a faker. He says she should resign. And that's an interesting story. She calls him a faker, which is fine. As the story goes, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's well-known candor was on display in her chambers late Monday when she declined to retreat from her earlier criticism of Donald Trump and even elaborated on it. "He's a faker," she said, of the presumptive Republican presidential nominee, going point by point as if presenting a legal brief. "He has no consistency about him. He says whatever comes into his head at the moment. He really has an ego. How has he gotten away with not turning over his tax returns? The press seems to be very gentle with him on that." And she had other words, but that's interesting. You know, what I think is most interesting about it is that's really all we see on the national stage at this point, in terms of media coverage, the ridiculous nonsense of the Bernie Sanders camp endorsing Hillary, and the things that Bernie has been saying, Hillary Clinton. I don't understand that whole circus. The fact that, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg's remarks regarding Trump are not entirely misplaced. She has a point. And Hillary is the wife of a man who was impeached for lying, and she seems to suffer from that same propensity. I just don't understand how anyone can listen to that guy as he goes around the country and not hear those words echo in their mind. "I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. What I mean was, not exactly." I mean, how can you believe anything he says? And she is cut from the same cloth, which seems clearly evident. And the charade of the email scandal, which is contrived in itself. Attorney General Loretta Lynch saying that she'll hold to the FBI's recommendation, which is ridiculous. When that's unprecedented, to my understanding, I've never seen this kind of WWF charade, this circus, happen this way. So the Attorney General says we're going to hold to the FBI's recommendation, which is cute. And she meets with the liar who was impeached for lying secretly, which finds its way out into the public consciousness. And then the FBI Director Comey says, yeah, what she did was horrible, but we don't see any grounds for criminal prosecution. Lynch says, okay, that's what we're going to go with. Then the public says we should, you know, there are a few tenacious folks, Paul Ryan being one, who say this is a problem. And so before the dust settles, Loretta Lynch has to give account before Congress, as she did yesterday. And that's just ridiculous, beyond words ridiculous, to the point that FBI Director Comey has to again say something for damage control. It's all spin and damage control at this point. And he says that Hillary Clinton probably isn't smart enough to commit email fraud. Well, if she's not smart enough to commit email fraud, which she did arguably, then she's probably not smart enough to be president, so she shouldn't be running. I think if we're going to elect a woman as president, it should have been Shirley Chisholm or someone like her. I mean, this whole discussion is ridiculous. People don't know their history. And just briefly, you know, folks should – people who want to talk about a, you know, a black president or a woman president need to research Shirley Chisholm. And, you know, she was the first, I would say, black woman. African-American to me is a pejorative. It is a balkanizing term. So as I said, as I've said in the past, should I call myself European or Anglo-American? Wouldn't that be controversial? Doesn't it just sound like, you know, I'm picking a fight if I say I'm European-American or I'm Anglo-American? Doesn't it sound antagonistic and passive-aggressively hostile? So, Shirley Chisholm was elected to United States Congress back in 1968. She was... you know, if voting meant anything, if it would accomplish anything, I would vote for her. So, but you know, back in 1972, Shirley Chisholm ran for president. So, this discussion, or you know, whatever, it's so ridiculous, and that's, you know. That's not an isolated incident without getting into that whole discussion. So it's interesting, you know, the circus Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg calls Trump a faker, and it's all fakery. So, but I digress. Back to the piece that I wrote to conclude. So I quoted the allegedly spurious letter from Pike to Mazzini. Perhaps back up and summarize to encapsulate the idea. As far as the violence, the seemingly random violence and chaos is concerned, there is much, much more to say, but perhaps the best way to summarize the violence and chaos and its motives and arguably contrived origins is, again, the words from the allegedly spurious letter from Pike to Mazzini back in 1871, "We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists. We shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and the most bloody turmoil. Then everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization." And I think just to maybe speak to that a little further in the context of what we see shaping up, is it, you know, this, whether Pike wrote this letter or not, this is text that has been around for decades already. Arguably predates the First World War, even if Pike didn't write it. We've had these words for decades, this allegedly spurious letter. So isn't it interesting that in that document you have words like the Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of Islamic world. So political Zionists, you know, political Israel, or the modern geopolitical contrivance otherwise known as Israel, which is not the biblical Israel, by the way. And the Islamic world, or what I would call political Islam. So political Zionism and political Islam collided together. The war must be conducted in such a way that political Islam and political Zionism mutually destroy each other. Do we see that happening on the geopolitical stage? Yes. the war must be conducted in such a way that political Islam and political Zionism mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economical exhaustion. Do we see that happening? I submit that we do. So continuing, the bottom line, though, I believe, is what can we do? What will change things for good? This is the question that arises or should arise. What can we do? What will change things for good or for the better? As a brief aside, the story, in my opinion, based on my view and belief that the Bible is accurate, it is the inerrant, infallible word of God, and the translation issue is sorted out in 1 Corinthians 2, in my opinion, the secret decoder ring, that being the Holy Spirit. So, you know, spiritual thoughts and spiritual words transcend those written and translated by man. So that is kind of an irrelevant discussion based on 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But to that end, I refer to the words echoed by several of our founding fathers, that virtue, morality, and religion are the order of the day. And circling back around to Patrick Henry in his letter to Archibald Blair back in 1799, virtue, morality, and religion, this is the armor, my friend, and this alone that renders us invincible. These are the tactics we should study. If we lose these, we are conquered, fallen indeed. So long as our manners and principles remain sound, there is no danger. And then these Bible verses to corroborate the points made in this piece. You've heard it said, you've heard that it was said, and this is Jesus speaking, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise, his S-U-N, that is, to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. That's Romans 12:17. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. That's 1 Peter 3:9. And finally, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And we forget these things. That is the conclusion of the piece that I wrote. And just to flesh that out as a backdrop of the Machiavellian intrigue, deception, and chaos and violence, or resultant chaos and violence, you know, as a contrast. You know, these are the things that we should focus on. What can we do? Those are the things we can do. You know, again, the bottom line is these things, virtue, morality, and religion are the order of the day, and these are the things that can change hearts and minds, even in difficult moments. You know, just to perhaps depart for a moment on a philosophical tangent. If you think about it, the biblical concept of love is, or the Old Testament has said, I would say, C-H-E-S-E-D, the Old Testament has said, the long-suffering, patient, enduring love of God is the operative concept. And that is what changes hearts. That, and obviously the Spirit, if you believe the Bible, you know, no man comes lest the Spirit draws him. But that Old Testament has said, that concept of love is what changes hearts, even in the face of spite, animosity, and controversy. And what I mean specifically is, you know, passages like Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the point there in this context is you can see that even though we were at enmity, so to speak, he stayed the course. It's a concept that's spoken to in places like Psalm 15:4. Psalm 15 is a very short psalm. It's just a few short verses. And verse 4 talks about, the psalmist asked the question, who gets to spend time close to you? I'm paraphrasing, but Psalm 15 is only 5 verses. The first verse reads, a psalm of David, O Lord, who may abide in your tent, who may dwell on your holy hill, who gets to be close to you and spend time in immediate fellowship, so to speak. Psalm 15:4, verse 4, so it talks about the character of the person who gets to spend that kind of time with God, so to speak. And verse 4 reads, the end of verse 4 in the NASB reads, he swears to his own hurt and does not change, which if you believe the Bible is, of course, what Jesus did. You know, you see him sweating drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he even prays, Father, if it's possible for this cup to pass from me, let it pass, but not my will, yours. So he swears to his own hurt and does not change. So when you think about it, I've mentioned the stories. I've heard a few stories, one in particular recently of a couple that are suffering. And she, you know, their marriage is plagued by certain problems. If you imagine, there's kind of a Machiavellian conflict or struggle that's taking place. And, you know, he's done some things. She's said and done some things. And they have been injurious to their marriage and to one another. But if you imagine it, I think we'll just say it started with his behavior. He was doing something that was dishonoring to their marriage. And so let's say it started with his behavior. If he found out somewhere along the way that not only did she know what was happening, but she loved him as she swore she would, and she was praying for him the whole time, what do you think that would do to his heart? And perhaps a better question is, would that change his heart? What would we imagine? Would that be more effective in convicting him and bringing about a change of heart, or would condemnation be more effective? It's kind of a rhetorical question. And on that note, we'll be right back after this short break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANA Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Poignant nature of the song "I Left My Heart in San Francisco" is lost unless you reflect on the lyrics. The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gray. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan, etc., etc. Anyway, a bygone era. So hopefully that makes sense. The point being that love is the order of the day, that and virtue and morality and religion. Virtue, morality, and religion, of course, the sentiment that was echoed by many of the founders, as I've mentioned in the past, and I think perhaps best summarized in Patrick Henry's words in his letter to Archibald Blair back in 1799. But that and the scriptural admonition by Jesus himself in places like Matthew 5:43 to 47, the Beatitudes, you know, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And I think, I believe that those words were spoken and written as much for this moment today as ever before in this Machiavellian age of intrigue and deception for gain or advantage, which I would say is kind of the encapsulation of Machiavellianism, in my opinion. You know, if you see this Machiavellian behavior for what it is, if you see it clearly, then as I do, you can say it's very self-evident that we are on you chart a course and you go one direction or the other in the um, in the concept of Machiavellian intrigue and deception, you go that way, you will find yourself isolated and alone, balkanized. This is what's so ironic about this foreign policy and, you know, operative phrases like the enemy of my enemy is my friend. The more you embark on the Machiavellian course, or you employ a Machiavellian ideology in your whatever, your daily dealings or your foreign policy, at whatever level you employ it, the more you will eventually isolate yourself. You will create a climate of distrust, and you will politicize everything, including things that shouldn't be politicized. It's just not a wise and prudent course of action or thought, for that matter. But as I said yesterday, I think people need probably to read, maybe we need to pass that out. Maybe Machiavelli's The Prince should be required reading in school so that people can see it. Not that they would do it. Hopefully they would see it and be horrified by it. Not that I would encourage that because, you know, what you study, you become. I wouldn't want that to happen. But I don't think people see it clearly enough. And there is a marked distinction. You know, Robert Greene's 48 Laws of Power, that kind of stuff. This is what we see epitomized or typified by and in political circles primarily, you know, national politics. It's very Machiavellian. And so this is what in an oppressor-oppressed culture in which we live, for example, this is what you see people emulating. And it's tragic and unfortunate. It's something that people don't even realize, I think. But this is what's balkanizing us, and we should, as the Bible says, never repay evil for evil. We should love our enemies, and that is what changes hearts. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? Well, watch out! That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that can mean increased mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. Don't bother with a dehumidifier. It just circulates the same unhealthy air. Now there's a better way to remove these dangers and odors. It's with the computerized Wave Moisture Control Unit that reduces moisture and expels pollutants.
We replaced our old dehumidifier with the Wave Unit, and in only 3 weeks, our basement is dry and the musty smell is gone.
Wave units require no maintenance, no buckets of water or filters, and costs only pennies a day to run. Breathe better, live healthier with an affordable, no-maintenance Wave Unit. Call 888-618-WAVE, 888-618-WAVE, or visit MyDryHome.com. MyDryHome.com.
Ride the wave, Wave Home
solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns, their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down, the fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance, he's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need, because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Assail him, impale him with monster truck force. In his mind, he's still driving, still making the grade. She's hoping in time that her memories will fade, cause he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his
horse. All right, welcome
back. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up.
As I have mentioned, welcome back. Bottom of the second hour already of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Wednesday, July 13, 2016. As I have mentioned, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. This has been kind of an intellectual, philosophical, perhaps spiritual broadcast. Yesterday kind of was, too. I didn't like the way that we went out, in the sense that I wish that we had more time to kind of unpack that discussion between Paul and John. And I think it was great that both Paul and John were open to having that discussion. And I think we should be doing more of that. It's interesting. As you look around, there isn't, in my humble estimation, and I haven't seen it, again, this is conjectural and not scientific, but there isn't nearly enough hearty discussion being had between intelligent folks who are just trying to, you know, reason together. There is a lot of talking at one another. There is a lot of rhetoric-based, I don't even know what word to use, but things, there's a lot of talking at one another is about the best way I can say it. I see people, you know, as much as I don't want to mention it, Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People comes to mind. You know, the operative concept in this case being seek first to understand, then to be understood. I don't see anyone – that whole concept just seems to be foreign. We used to do that, I think, and as Stephen Covey wrote, before the turn of the 20th century, the self-help literature, if you will, was character-based, and then it became at some point early in the 20th century predominantly tip, trick, and technique-based, with the abrogation of character as the focus taking place. So the idea of seeking first to understand, then to be understood, is just a foreign concept. At this point, it doesn't even register, I think, to most people. They don't, that, you know, we went from seeking first to understand, then to be understood, to being selfish, seeking first to be understood, then to understand, then not wanting to be understood, or excuse me, not wanting to understand, then not really caring about being understood or understanding. That's kind of where it seems we are now. So hopefully that makes sense. Anyway, there isn't enough intelligent discussion being had these days. I want to give you a couple of clips that kind of summarize, I think, where we are in this Machiavellian cauldron that's bubbling over at this point. But we'll wait for that, and we'll go to the phones first and grab Fred in Iowa. Fred, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, I hope I can keep my thoughts together and be brief, but you've been expressing my thoughts for the last half hour, 40 minutes, better than I can, and John covers a lot of good ground. He's a big help. But atheists and agnostics, take heed. And if you know or aware or listener or know about Pike, when the power, the beast, I don't want to say the beast church, but the beast takes control, that he not only will slaughter and kill Protestant Christians, but he will kill atheists too. Now, it isn't a big thing for an atheist to accept the mark of the beast and go along to get along, but he will pay the price for eternity. And as a Christian, we have to trust and obey and be so strong in our faith that our life means nothing, because we, and I think me personally, at 79 years old, I'm not going to die of natural causes, and I hope that God gives me the strength. But to die in the faith gives you eternal life. And I want to put out a prophecy. I'm not prophesizing, but Christians can prophesize, if you know, and follow the Bible. But this is prophesied in the Bible. When they enforce the Sunday law, and it's already on the books in most countries in the world, then that's the last one, and then the seven plagues fall. take heed, people. Now, I have a problem with anger, and you brought up a very good point. And Jesus said, love your brothers, but hate your enemies. And he said, I say, love your enemies and pray for them. And I have to admit, of the multitude of sins that I have, that is a hard one, a difficult for me to overcome. But I am trying. I am trying. But if, and other people, but especially me, if you take the attitude of trying to help people, then I think, or at least for me, I can overcome this anger, and I hate to use the word hatred, but consideration and compassion for my fellow man where I can help him. Not that I have a corner on the market of truth, but for this country to survive, the Bible has to be over the church, and the conscience has to be over the magistrate. And I hope I made some sense today, and thank you, and let somebody else get on. Thank you, and bye.
Thanks, Fred. I appreciate your thoughts and your sentiments, as always, and it kind of reminds me of Paul's conversion, which, you know, gets to the point of what I'm trying to say. You know, Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9, the Damascus Road conversion, as it's referred to sometimes, this is what changes hearts. And when people see that, you know, here is a guy who persecuted Jesus, speaking, you know, why, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. That is the kind of conviction. If you can understand and appreciate that kind of conviction, it just is crushing to your heart. And so that the love that is poured out, even in the face of overwhelming enmity and opposition, is what changes hearts. If anything changes hearts, that I would say and argue is the most effective heart-changing agent, so to speak. Let's go back to the phones real quick and grab John in Tennessee. John, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Called in at the end of last program, or last broadcast,
yep,
talking to Paul. Paul was willing to talk, except he wasn't willing to let me speak. So if you'll allow me, I'll kind of address as kindly as I can what I was trying to get across to Paul, because I'm pretty sure he's listening today. Okay, first of all, he said he was an agnostic. If you look at the definition, it's actually agnostic, which means without knowledge. Well, he made it very clear that he was not without knowledge. I don't believe for a moment that he's an imbecile, which means he's stupid. I don't believe for a minute that he's ignorant, because that also too means without knowledge. So he's already made his mind up. You know, he kept saying, show me God and I'll believe. Show me God and I'll believe. I'll come to Tennessee, introduce me, and I'll believe. Well, you know, it sounds to me, Chris, like his mind is pretty well made up. And I'm not calling now to argue against him, but just simply to express my belief that he was disingenuous when he called. I think that your broadcast yesterday had a little bit of an attack in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the programming. Now, what comes to mind, Psalms 14:1 says, the fool says in his heart there is no God. But if you look at the italicized words in that verse, there and is are both italicized, which means they were not in the original manuscripts. So that verse should really read, the fool says in his heart, no God. So I'm not saying that Paul is even foolish. I think that Paul is very confused. And if he's not confused, then he is at the least seeking to disrupt the apple cart. And I hope that's not the case. I didn't call to start anything. I simply called to let the others that were listening, if he had given me the opportunity to speak, that's exactly what I would have said. But conversation is two-way. when someone starts to speak, it's almost like you're afraid of what they may say, so you can't let them talk.
Yeah, and one of the things that I pride myself on, if anything, on this broadcast is giving people the freedom to speak, which I think is, that to me is emblematic of the concept that I grew up understanding about this country. We should be able to have a conversation regardless of whether I agree or not, regardless of whether we can come to some consensus or agreement or not. And that to me is,
Bible
instructive.
Says, come, let us reason together. And if you look at the book of Acts, I think it's chapter 18, I could be incorrect, but Paul was in Ephesus for 2 years talking to the Greeks and the Romans, expressing the accuracy of the Word of God. And it was such a, not necessarily a heated argument, but it was such a great debate that all of Asia, can't think about that, all of Asia was aware of what was going on in Ephesus. And it changed the world in its time. And if we were given the opportunity, we could change this world. We did it in a reasonable, intelligent, heartfelt, sincere, on both sides.
Yeah.
We could change the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And, absolutely.
So I'll leave it at that. If he calls in, hey, I'd be glad to hear what he... Take care, brother.
You too, John. Thank you for your call, as always. Appreciate your words and sentiments as well. And so, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 comes to mind. Verse 13, you know, if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. So my people were called by my name. That kind of reminds me of Hosea chapter 4, which is where the verse, my people perish for lack of knowledge, you'll find in Hosea 4. The precursor to that is God dressing down the sons of Israel. Listen, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land. He goes down in the chain of command, so to speak, and says, here's what's going on. The people, the inhabitants of the land, have not properly heard the oracles of God. And this is obviously in contrast to the point that John makes from Acts. So, not to get on too much of a diatribe, but hopefully that makes sense. You have the contrast, and there are people who, you know, hopefully this makes sense, kind of coming full circle. If the people who believe that they are called by his name, so to speak, not to get off on that contrived controversy, but, and I think Paul sorts that out in Romans 2, and I'll leave it at that, but those who believe themselves to be called by his name, if they would humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then he says he will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And that is without regard to what others are doing. Isn't that interesting? So there is a sort of fiduciary responsibility, if you will, to those who believe themselves called by his name. So it's interesting, you know, we can dispense with the Machiavellian conflict and the Hegelian dialectical conflict model that is part and parcel to it these days, I would say, meaning dialectical being arguing shades of gray instead of just resting on right and wrong. It's just that simple. We'll be right back with the final segment of today's broadcast right after this short break. Stick around.
My name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. And remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, and I wanted to give you a contrast. We did calls instead. Maybe we'll do this tomorrow because I think it's important to demonstrate the contrast and really, you know, it puts the effects of the propaganda, the social engineering, the Machiavellian ideology on full display, in my opinion, and the way that forces are being drawn apart, folks are being balkanized, and about to be collided together. You can see it, you can hear it, you can feel it. It's palpable. It's almost tangible. And the clips that I'm talking about, maybe we should, we should just play one of them. We'll probably play both of them tomorrow, but. Can we play the Dale Hansen clip? real quick, since we have, I think we have time for that.
The Rangers lost to Minnesota last night, and I'm almost embarrassed to tell you I know that. I'm in my office watching the game, and then all hell breaks loose in our city. Reporters at our newsroom were scrambling. Producers were yelling. We turned off the lights just in case, and I kept watching the game. It was another shooting in America. It was in our city this time, and police officers were being killed, but it was a couple of blocks away, and the Rangers were being shut out. This is what I have become. This is what too many of us have been for a long time now. We'll fly our flags at half-mast. We'll say all the right things. We'll make promises we won't keep, and then nothing will change. Our lives will go on while the lives of so many others won't, because we expect it now and we accept it. It wasn't this way when I was a boy, but it is life in America now. But shooting a police officer is not the answer to a problem that too many people deny. Police officers are not like you and me. They're better. They run into the darkened alley where we won't go. They run into the buildings we run from. They look for the person we try to hide from. But they're not allowed to make the human mistakes that we all make, because they have the power of God strapped to their hip and the authority to use it. When we talk about blindly supporting the blue, when we try to show our support for these brave men and women, we fail to realize we can't defend them all, and we shouldn't defend them all. A white man in America doesn't die for selling cigarettes on a street corner. He gets a ticket. A white man in America doesn't die for driving with a broken taillight. He gets a ticket, too. And the officers who abuse the badge and the power they have should be punished, and too many times they're not. But what possible purpose does opening fire on the streets of Dallas do to right the wrongs too many people deal with every day? As one of those on the city streets last night told a reporter, they might have killed the good cops. A person of color has always hated to be painted with a broad brush, to suffer the indignity of the stereotype so many people claim is fact. And then that killer last night did exactly the same thing, shooting at anyone in blue, because don't we all really know they're all the same? America's problem has come to Dallas now, and our lieutenant governor blames the peaceful protesters because our lieutenant governor is a fool. It was not just an attack on the Dallas police. It was an attack on our basic humanity and the common decency we used to cherish in America. But that's all gone now. We lost that a long time ago. The Rangers lost last night 10-1, and I'm almost embarrassed to tell you I know that.
You in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.